Hello, and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with baseball writers and authors, artists and musicians, filmmakers, basically anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. I usually speak to my guests after they've completed their projects, so this is a bit of departure, but it's good to shake things up once in a while. By the time you read this, Brian Belucci, PhD, will be on a cross-country trek in preparation for his new book about a single pack of baseball cards. Belucci's idea has him combing the country to speak with the players who appeared in a random pack of 1986 Topps cards, the ones he got in that pack: Rance Mullinix, Al Cowens, Gary Templeton, Randy Reddy, Gary Pettis, Jamie Kakenauer, Don Carmen, Vince Coleman, Doc Gooden, Lee Mazzelli, Rich Hebner, Carlton Fisk, Rick Sutcliffe, and Steve Yeager. So it's Belucci's plan to interview each of these players, find out what they've been doing since they retired, etc. His travels will take him from his native California to Texas, Missouri, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, Arizona, Connecticut, and Florida, some 10,000 miles by his estimate. Cowens passed away in 2002 at the age of 50, so Belucci will visit with his family. The author will be blogging about his adventures at waxpackbook.com. We spoke recently about his project for this bookshelf conversation.
Brad Belucci, and welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So this is a bit of a departure, because usually I speak with authors after they've written their book, but you're about to embark on a major quest. I'll let you tell it. This involves a wax pack of baseball cards, and for those who are too young to remember, wax packs are how cards used to be available when you could actually buy a pack at a time. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the project?
Sure, yeah. Well, growing up as a kid in Rhode Island back in the 80s, every week my allowance would go to buying one of these wax packs of cards, and that's how we built our collections. And you'd always get that stick of gum in the pack and everything. And so, I have just thousands of baseball cards from my youth. I'm now 34 years old, living out in California, a college biology professor, but also I've done a lot of writing. And, I always had this crazy idea that, it just seemed like the pack itself lent itself to a book, to writing a book about a single pack of cards, where you could have each card be a chapter in the book. And so I thought it would be kind of neat to just get a random pack unopened off of eBay and basically whatever, sort of being at the mercy of whatever random collection of 15 cards are in that pack, going down and going around the country now and tracking those guys down now, 30 years later, and kind of telling the story of, what happens after you're no longer a baseball star.
So when did you
and all, you know, maybe,
When did you come up with the idea for this?
This has been going on. It's been incubating for maybe 5 years. A good friend of mine, Jesse Brulard, and I, we came up with this idea together, and I just sort of have run with it.
Now,
so it's been 2 years in the making.
Now, these players that are in this particular pack, they run the gamut from Hall of Famers to... I use this term in all due respect, because this is the way they used to refer to the cards, common players.
That's right.
So the Hall of Famer in this case is Carlton Fisk. And
right.
I won't mention who the common players might be, because that's a matter of interpretation. But among the other members in this pack, you have Steve Yeager, a longtime player, Gary Templeton, Vince Coleman, Lee Mazzilli, Richie Hebner, Rick Sutcliffe, and Doc Gooden. So how did you convince all these players to get on board with this?
Well, so I don't have every player on board. I have, as of last count, I believe 12 of the 14.
And one of the players has passed away.
Right. So that's actually only – so there's 15 cards in the pack. The 15th card was a checklist, one of those funny cards that they used to produce. But, of course, that's not a single person, so that didn't count. So I had 14 cards. Al Cowens, who, as you said, passed away, I'm actually meeting with his widow and his family to talk about his life and career. And then basically only Carlton Fisk has flat out said no, which I wasn't that surprised about because he's sort of known for being a grouch. And Lee Mazzilli I'm still trying to get a hold of. So the rest have all been very gracious, very helpful. You know, it took a lot of work to get a hold of these guys and kind of find them, kind of explain the idea. But once I did, you know, they've been pretty supportive.
How did you find them? How did you track them down?
I mean, it ranged. Each story is a little bit different. Sometimes it was just a matter of, you know, getting a home phone number from public records and just making a phone call, writing snail mail letters to their home addresses. Sometimes, like Steve Yeager, I wrote a piece for Smithsonian Magazine about the science of stealing bases. And so this is about a year ago. I already was thinking, you know, a year out about this project. And I thought, well, if I talk to Yeager as a source for this story, then I could, you know, build a relationship. So when I write the book, they'll already know who I am, which is what I did.
Very original.
So a lot of advanced planning there. And, you know, the thing about the book, though, is it's not just about talking to the players, but it's about the journey to find the players. So even though Fisk has told me to kind of get lost, I'm actually going to still go to his where he lives in Sarasota, Florida, and basically try to ambush him and kind of tell the story of, you know, go and see if I can track him down and you know, say, hey, what's up, Carlton? What, you know, why the reluctance here?
Well, certainly, I mean, you can build on the fact that all these other people spoke to you, and wouldn't it be nice to include him in the project as well? You know, maybe he'll have a change of heart, we're hoping.
Yeah, well, you know, and there's a guy, Doug Wilson, who's written a whole biography of Carlton Fisk that's coming out this fall, who I spoke with. And you know, I mean, Fisk is so difficult that I guess he reached out to Fisk and told him, you know, hey, I'm writing a whole book about you. I talked to your mom. I talked to your brother, your sister. You know, will you talk to me? And he still refused.
Right.
So, did you
calculate the miles this is going to take in traveling to visit all these people?
Yeah, I got it to about 10,000 miles. so about halfway across the world, all within the U.S. And it really shouldn't be that far if you just look at a map, but it's because I have to kind of zigzag based on their schedules a little bit. You know, it's going to be 10,000 miles in about 7 weeks. So I leave on Friday, the 19th, and I get back in sort of mid-August.
Now, what was the reaction when you first approached these guys? Were they down with it right away? Were they a bit reluctant? I would imagine, I mean, you mentioned Fisk's attitude. I would imagine something like Gooden might not be, you know, so eager to jump on the bandwagon, but someone like Don Carmen or Jamie Kackenauer might welcome the fact that, wow, somebody remembers me after all this time.
Yeah, your instincts serve you well, Ron, because that's exactly, you know, in fact, those are the two guys that were the most accommodating, Don Carmen and Jamie Kackenauer. Oh, and just had Rance Mullenix. It's been fantastic. I actually already met with Rance once, and I'm going to go back and see him again to start the trip. But, yeah, some of those guys, I mean, guys like Rance and Don Carmen, they've been, you know, just gone, you know, out of their way to help me with giving me contact numbers for their family and their friends. And, you know, hey, talk to this guy, talk to that guy. And then, you know, some guys are just kind of, I think, a bit confused. Like, it's kind of hard to explain in a cold call, like, this whole concept, you know. But I think, well, once I start talking to them and get to see them, they'll kind of get it more. And then, yeah, some guys, like Gooden's really tough, you know, he wants money to participate and so forth. So it runs the gamut, as you might expect. But that's kind of the beauty of the pack, is you're constrained by the chance of the guys in the pack, and you're going to sort of inevitably get a real range in both, you know, baseball, you know, career, but also personality.
Now, is there a reason you picked this particular year as opposed to, let's say, what would you have done if you had bought a pack from the 70s?
Right. Yeah, well, I picked 86 because that was the first year that I remember actually collecting cards as a 6-year-old. So, you know, to me, it's also the nostalgia of the baseball card, you know, collecting. And the book is, I mean, I'm the narrator in the book. It's a mix of travelogue, memoir, baseball. So it's the story of, you know, you've got their careers, but it's also kind of the overarching story is my travel around the country, you know, tracking these guys down and talking about what it's like to, you know, to sort of find the guys you sort of idolized as a little kid. And kind of the cool thing is I'm now the same age that these guys were when they had to retire and kind of stop, you know, playing a game for a living. And so I'm, you know, similarly, I'm sort of at a place in my life where I'm kind of, you know, I'm 34, I'm still single, all my friends are getting married and having kids, and I'm kind of, you know, okay, well, what's next for me? What do I need to do to grow up, so to speak?
Now, the players who retired at that age, obviously they have, one would hope, and unfortunately in the case of Al Cowens, this didn't come to pass, but, you know, they still have at least half their life ahead of them. What do you find are they doing now? How many are still in baseball? How many have found other areas of employment? Or have you not spoken about this so much in wanting to save it up for when you actually meet with them?
Yeah, I want to really dig into that, not just, you know, on paper, what does your resume say, but, you know, what is personally, you know, family stuff, what is it like to make that transition out of playing the game? From what I know, just from my research, you know, the common denominator is pretty much, you know, no one wants to let go of the game, you know. And so most of them have tried to stay in it in some way or another. Now, then you've got guys, it's interesting, you've got guys like Jamie Coconower, who had a very short major league career, but one of the few guys in the pack that has a college degree. And so even doing research on him, you know, even before he made the majors, he was already talking about maybe quitting and going to work for an accounting firm because he had that fallback plan. And sure enough, he's been an accountant in Arkansas for decades now and has established, you know, a nice living and career completely outside of baseball. But he had that thing to fall back on, you know, back in an era when most guys didn't seem to go to, you know, they didn't really go to college, they certainly didn't get their degree.
Did you always plan to use this particular pack as the basis of this project? Or, I mean, I'm trying to think, are you kind of disappointed at some of the people you got, or are you just happy with the spread of that, so to speak?
Right. So in the spirit of full disclosure, because I was worried, okay, what happens if I open a pack and, you know, six of the guys are dead, which could happen.
Okay.
So I opened multiple packs, and basically, you know, what I promised is that, you know, to preserve the integrity of the project, I would never mix and match packs. So I opened a few packs, the pack that had the guys that were, you know, the most, it had guys that are still alive. And I thought, you know, a good mix of people spread throughout the country because the pack is sort of this vehicle for taking this cross-country trip. And a good mix of, you know, star. Yeah, I didn't want, you know, six Hall of Famers either because that might be too difficult. So I chose the pack that had, I thought, the best mix overall. But it did have, you know, these were all the guys that were bundled together in that pack.
Do you have a tentative title for the book?
Yeah, well, Wax Packs is certainly what I'm going with as the main title. You know, the website, everything's built around Wax Pack as the title. The subtitle is something my agent and I are going back and forth on, and, you know, I'm sure that at some point a publisher will want to weigh in on that. But Wax Pack is sort of the main heading.
And if people want to find out more about your project, where should they go?
You can go to waxpackbook.com, also on Twitter at waxpackbook. And as I travel, I will be regularly posting video and blogging about the trip. If people have questions they want me to ask players, please let me know. Be happy to, you know, ask them and say, you know, hey, so-and-so wants to know the answer to this question, and I'd be happy to pose those questions.
Well, Brad Baluchian, thank you for talking with us about this project. I look forward to following your progress, and I look forward to seeing the book when it comes out.
Thank you very much, Ron. I appreciate it.
And that was our baseball conversation with Brad Baluchian, author of a forthcoming book about a random set of baseball players in a random pack of baseball cards. Tune in again next time and we'll have another interesting guest from the world of baseball and pop culture. In the meantime, please visit Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews about the game. And if you have any suggestions or questions, please never hesitate. Drop me a line at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
And boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a wonderful game.
We've been talking with Rob Fitz, author of Mashi, The Unfulfilled Baseball Dreams of Masanori Murakami, the first Japanese major leaguer. Rob, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.